Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, following his two-hour phone call with Vladimir Putin yesterday, Donald Trump said that only Ukraine and Russia can negotiate a ceasefire amongst themselves, possibly with the help of Pope Leo. It represents the latest change of tack from the US president, who famously said he'd end the conflict within 24 hours of taking office. To discuss all of this, I'm joined now by James Waterhouse, BBC Ukraine correspondent. Good morning, James.
Good morning.
Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin, I think you'll agree, seem to be saying quite different things about how that call went. Donald Trump sending out this really upbeat message, and then Vladimir Putin is much more cautious about what happened. Firstly, where is your sense of where things lie now between the two leaders? You know, that constant assessment of their relationship that we try to make.
Well, I think to answer that, you need to look at what Vladimir Putin is achieving here. And I think he is successfully straddling both giving Donald Trump enough grounds for optimism by saying, yes, we will agree with, we will engage with Ukraine as long as what they call, he calls the core issues of this war are sorted out. He is agreeing to improve relations with Washington. There is something in it for him. But also, he is able to continue waging this war, and he is able to keep demanding for even more control of Ukrainian territory. And if you're Donald Trump, I mean, you've just said it there, he's flip-flop between threatening to walk away, then coming back. He's not followed through with sanctions for Russia if it doesn't negotiate further. And from, you know, if you're President Zelensky here in Kyiv, you look at this latest phone call, this latest round of talks, and you think, well, what does Russia have to do? Russia is not being pressured to either negotiate on a deeper level, nor is it being pressured to pause fighting. And I think that is why we are seeing Ukraine gently trying to reassert its red lines without criticizing the White House.
Donald Trump did propose this 30-day ceasefire to Vladimir Putin. At least that's what he believed he did. But that he must have been stonewalled on that, because there was no mention of it afterwards.
There is no mention of it. And, you know, Ukraine has to go follow that track. So it too is saying we're up for a 30-day ceasefire. You know, it needs America, and even if America carries through with its threat of walking away, it could still buy military aid in the long run. Now, as for a 30-day ceasefire, Ukraine wants that to come first and talks to come second, to try and thrash out some kind of path to peace. And yesterday's phone call illustrated that only talks are going to continue. Vladimir Putin has talked about a memorandum. I mean, we don't know what that means. It's some kind of roadmap that could involve a ceasefire, but it's littered with caveats. And if you're Ukraine, that equates to, frankly, this war raging on. Because if there's more dialogue to come, and there could well be between Ukrainian and Russian delegates over the following weeks, that's all good and well. But since February, we have not seen any of these talks yield any kind of substantial outcome apart from Russia and Ukraine engaging directly for the first time.
Now, there seems to have been, well, according to commentary on this, alarm in the EU at the notion that Donald Trump might walk away from this situation. He has threatened this before, we'll remember, back in March, but he has said a number of times in the debriefing afterwards, this is not my war. How concerned are Ukrainians about that?
They're deeply concerned, because it then becomes an equation of how can we hang on with what's left of American aid coming in, what we can afford to buy, while Europe tries to sort itself out. Now, you know, if you look at, many will remember this so-called coalition of the willing, where you've got the UK, France, Germany and others trying to set out their commitment to be in Ukraine, to station troops in Ukraine, to police a ceasefire, to perhaps do what America is less willing to. And then Friedrich Merz, the German Chancellor, said, look, it's too soon to talk about troop numbers. You know, Europe is still working out how to keep America engaged with Ukraine. It too is complimenting Donald Trump, saying he is still a mediator. He is not walking away. But, you know, clearly the White House is running out of patience. Donald Trump, Marco Rubio, the Secretary of State, in their words, they have said, we are tired of making all of these flights and not getting anywhere. And yet, you know, despite Vladimir Putin adding caveat after caveat and wanting peace on his terms, they're sort of walking along with it.
Mm-hmm. But Donald Trump getting frustrated with the situation, the outcome of that looks to be that he would just walk away rather than put more pressure on Russia.
It does. But we've seen, I mean, there hasn't been much fanfare about it. But America has provided, signed off more military aid for Ukraine on the basis that it is paid for. And Ukraine has said we can afford it. We've seen the signing of this mineral deal, which, whilst abstract, paves the way for any kind of profits from Ukraine's natural resources to go towards future military aid. But I do sense that walking away would equate to far less action or intervention from America, because it hasn't signed off any further sanctions. It was faintly threatened, but it hasn't materialized.
I'm sure there's comfort, though, for Ukrainians and for Vladimir Zelensky and the steadfast support that's coming from the EU. And I see the EU's Kaya Kallas has just announced that they've approved their 17th sanctions package against Russia, and that will target nearly 200 Shadow Fleet ships, which are bypassing, I suppose, the sanctions that are already in place on oil and gas sales. I mean, there will be comfort there in that, despite the fact that even if the EU could come to an agreement on defence or security for Ukraine, it most likely wouldn't be enough to protect them.
That's exactly right. I think, yes, comfort, but slight comfort. You know, we saw another sizable military aid package sent from Denmark to the tune of $500 million. You know, these pledges are not to be sniffed at, but because of the level of sanctions the European bloc has placed on Russia to date, it's not clear what difference any additional announcements will make when it comes to hindering Russia's war machine. And I think even when it comes to, you know, allies providing and Europe providing military aid or trying to work out how to provide troops in the far longer term, these are crumbs of comfort, because it is still America that is needed. No one is disputing this, to underwrite any kind of potential ceasefire, to say, look, if Moscow does not play ball, we will bring in deeper sanctions in a kind of global scale. We will arm Ukraine and give it exactly what it wants. And that will in turn embolden European allies to step up more. But even if European allies raise their defence spending to Donald Trump's desired levels, or you know, we're seeing Germany and France and the UK making such shifts, it will take years for that to translate into greater personnel numbers, not least to support Ukraine, but to protect themselves against Russian aggression in the future. And it poses the question as to whether that will come in time for Ukraine.
And James, this notion of the Vatican and Pope Leo hosting any peace talks to come, is that just Donald Trump throwing out a headline, or could it really happen? Because we know that Vladimir Zelensky has a developing relationship with this new pope as well. Is it a realistic prospect?
It is. I mean, Pope Leo has said as such that the Vatican would do what it can when it comes to direct talks to end this war. He has taken the issue head on. You know, his predecessor, Pope Francis, was more reluctant, shall we say, to offer any kind of condemnation when it came to Russia's invasion. He once even suggested that Ukraine should know when to wave the white flag. So I think this new pope is someone President Zelensky is getting on with, and clearly he is sympathetic to his country's cause. But the Vatican is now joining a lengthy list of candidates when it comes to who is willing to host these peace talks. We've had Turkey, we've had Saudi Arabia, we've had Qatar. You know, the list is mounting for countries to host such discussions. But we must remember that Vladimir Putin has an arrest warrant out on his name by the International Criminal Court. So it would have to be somewhere that isn't a signatory.
James, thank you very much for taking us through all of the details on that story as it develops. James Waterhouse there, who is BBC Ukraine correspondent. Coming up next, we're going to find out how just 20 photographs of a child that you post innocently online can be used now to create a deep fake image.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.